Here's a 4-year signed copy, secondhand copy of The Trading Game by Gary Stevenson. You might know him better as Gary's Economics.
Welcome to Gary's Economics.
Gary was once a trader for one of the world's most powerful banks until he realized that the trading game he was part of was rigged and that economically things were only going to get worse for the average person. Unlike most of his trader colleagues, Gary came from a working class background, which makes his story even more compelling. On YouTube, Gary educates people about economics as part of his mission to give them the tools to understand how society works and how they're being exploited by those at the very top. Over time, though, his message has become more political.
Today, we're going to teach you how to take over your country on YouTube.
While Gary isn't aligned with any political party, he's a strong advocate for higher taxation on the rich. Tax the rich has become increasingly popular, and as someone who agrees with the idea, I find this quite exciting. Figures like AOC with her tax the rich dress, and now Gary Stevenson, are helping make this message popular, cool, even trendy. It's been pulled out of nerdy economic circles and given real cultural relevance. Okay. What's great about a political message like tax the rich gaining cultural traction is that it attracts growing public support. But what's not so great is that culture can dilute the message, and bad actors may see an opportunity to capitalize on its popularity. So today I want to engage with the substance over the message. What do we actually mean by tax the rich? Because right now it's pretty unclear. What Gary is saying is unclear, and what progressive politicians are saying is also unclear. In my opinion, that lack of clarity is a serious problem. We've had decades of progressive leaders and thinkers making grandiloquent speeches, promoting bold measures, only to then do the bare minimum. That has led to deep frustration. It leads millions of people protesting in the streets. It leads to people turning to the far right. You see, there's a huge momentum building around that tax the rich message, and that momentum can be allowed to be misused by bad actors. Today, I want to ask, what do we actually mean by tax the rich? And I don't see many people, even on the progressive side of the political spectrum, talking about it. So let's go. My name's Alice. Welcome back to my channel. Now, before we start, I need to tell you about something, and that something is the sponsor of today's video, Aura. We all know that most social media apps collect our data to then sell it to anyone who wants it. Like, you and I could go to any data broker's website right now and buy anyone's data for a few bucks. It is completely legal. Big companies with poor security are getting hacked every day, and your personal information is being sold on the dark web. So spammers, scammers, and identity thieves can target you. And the worst thing about it is that they don't really face any repercussions. Governments are super slow at addressing the issue, and the risk of having personal information leaked is pretty high. So we want to do the best we can to protect ourselves. That's why I personally use Aura, today's sponsor. Aura keeps me safe online by doing all the hard work for me. They will identify data brokers who are selling my information and submit opt-out requests on my behalf. You can see results in just a few weeks, less spams, less dodgy emails or phone calls. Aura also let me know fast if anyone tries to use this information to access my credit or bank accounts. And in the worst case scenario, they can give me up to 5 million in identity theft insurance. Finally, the Aura app also has a VPN with more than 100 virtual locations. You can go to my link, aura.com/Alice Capel. It's aura.com/Alice Capel, CAPPELLE. Through that link, you get to try 14 days for free. This will be enough for Aura to find out if your personal data is exposed. Thank you, Aura, for sponsoring the video, supporting the channel, and now let's go back to it. As I said earlier, the message tax the rich isn't very clear. I realized that at some point while watching one of Gary's videos. I like when things are straightforward, and the slogan tax the rich felt very vague. So I started doing my own research to understand what Gary actually means by it. I found that he has shown support for various initiatives related to taxing the rich. There's the Labour MP Richard Bergen's campaign, the Make Them Pay campaign, and the Patriotic Millionaires campaign. All of these are directly or indirectly tied to a specific policy, a 2% tax on assets over £10 million, which could raise an estimated of £24 billion per year. This particular tax has been in global discussions for a while. In France, it's known as the Zuckerman tax, and it's been gaining a lot of attention. There's a real chance that it could be implemented. Gary has mentioned Zuckerman a few times on his channel, I believe. Now, let me give you some context on Zuckerman. To put it simply, his research as an economist led to the conclusion that billionaires pay less than 0.5% in effective taxes globally. And in France, it's almost zero. This isn't a loophole. It's a system built on tax havens and opaque financial structures that allow the ultra-rich to legally avoid taxes, even in high-tax countries like France. Middle-class earners can't do this, but billionaires, they can, and they do. In response to that, big boss economist Thomas Piketty proposed a global tax on extreme wealth back in 2013. Then in 2019, Zuckerman and Emmanuel Saez expanded on the idea in The Triumph of Injustice, where they showed how the collapse of tax progressivity is driving inequality, not just in the US, but around the world. The idea caught attention. That same year, 18 US billionaires signed an open letter called Tax Us More. During the 2020 US election, candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren backed wealth taxes. Joe Biden did not. On October 23, 2023, Gabriel Zuckerman made his most ambitious proposal yet. His team at the EU Tax Observatory unveiled a plan. First, a billionaire tax, and second, a stronger tax on multinationals. On June 26, 2024, Zuckerman was invited by Brazil to propose this at the G20, a global minimum 2% tax on billionaire wealth. According to him, this could generate between $200 and $250 billion per year from just around 3,000 billionaires, if coordinated internationally. Wait, what can you do with $250 billion? Well, you can end world hunger for 6 years. You can provide free education globally for 6 years. You can build bridges, renewable energy infrastructures. You can do so much. So, this is the blueprint. This is what many progressive leaders, thinkers, and influencers are referring to when they say tax the rich, a 2% tax on the ultra wealthy. And in today's context, after decades of concessions to the rich and rising inequality, this sounds pretty great. It's wild to think that just 2% on a few hundred people, thousands maybe, could generate so much money. It shows how much wealth is concentrated at the very top. Okay, so now is the moment where we get real, you and I, because I have something to tell you. This 2% tax, it won't actually make the rich less rich. The mega rich's wealth will still grow just at a slightly slower rate. Economists like Zuckerman have said it themselves. The goal is to slow the expansion of extreme wealth, not reverse it. Similarly, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who supported a comparable policy, explained that the rich wouldn't even feel this tax because it's insignificant to them. They'll keep getting richer. And that's where people started to get suspicious. A small tax on the ultra-rich that doesn't really touch their long-term wealth? Is that what people are asking for? Is that why people take to the streets, follow inequality-focused economists online, and vote for progressive candidates? When I hear tax the rich, the reference I have in mind is something like FDR in the 1930s. Unemployment was high, wealth inequality was severe, actually a bit more severe than what we have today. His administration raised taxes from 25% to 79% on income above 5 million, which would be about 100 million in today's money. During World War II, that rate peaked at 94% on income over $200,000, roughly $3 million today. The idea was to mobilize all that money for national defense, and that the rich had a patriotic duty to contribute. Now compare that with the UK Patriotic Millionaires campaign, which is asking for a 2% tax. Yeah, I know, our standards have definitely changed. Roosevelt called his tax plan the Soak the Rich campaign, and let's be honest, on that front, he delivered. For white people, yeah, let's not forget that African Americans were mostly excluded from the welfare programs. But yeah, that's what comes to mind when I think about taxing the rich. A tax that tells wealthy people, the party's over, sell the yurt, bottle up the champagne, you're going to pay your fair share now. Here's a quick video I want to show you.
When I heard about Senator Warren's wealth tax proposal, and she was saying, look, with a little itty bitty tax on the wealthy, we could just have a tax of 2% on wealth, 50 million and higher. We could take the revenue from that wealth tax and we could have affordable childcare. We could cancel some student loan debt. And she said, the wealthy won't even feel it. They won't even feel it because their wealth accumulates at a rate far above 3% per annum. So they're still going to get richer and richer and richer, to which I said, then what is the point?
This is Stephanie Kelton, a progressive American economist who's advised people like Bernie Sanders. In the video I just shared with you, Kelton explains that given the current economic situation and historically high levels of wealth inequality, the Tax the Rich campaign has to be aggressive. It has to meet the moment. We're in a pretty bad situation, people, and this 2% tax is the bare minimum. It won't stop wealth inequalities from growing. Now the mega rich, on the other hand, are scandalized by the prospect of not getting richer as fast as they do now. It seems like people forgot that they have feelings too. They have a lifestyle to sustain. In response to the threat of a wealth tax, the mega rich tries to silence or delegitimize those who advocate for it. They are terrified by someone like Gary Stevenson. This guy has been the target of harassment campaigns, false accusations, and constant attacks from corporate media. They hate him and what people like him stand for. For example, French billionaire Bernard Arnault, one of the top 10 richest people in the world, called the Zuckerman tax far left. Now, even if you don't like the 2% tax, you can't call it far left, seriously. And guess what? The MEDEF, France's largest business lobby group, threatened to organize a major mobilization if the tax gets implemented. Now, many people found this deeply ironic, like, what are they going to do? Disrupt air traffic with their private jets? Block roads with their massive SUVs? Shut down golf courses? Withhold the nannies and butlers' pay? I'm sure you can come up with better ideas in the comment section. Have fun. No, but seriously, the mega rich are already using the media they own to shape public opinion on this issue. For instance, they keep pushing the idea that a 2% tax would cause many ultra-wealthy individuals to leave whatever country and exit. Economists like Zuckerman hope to neutralize that threat by ensuring that the tax is adopted by as many countries as possible. But others argue that this billionaires will leave narrative should be ignored entirely. Here is Frédéric Lordon, another landmark economist, a product of French exceptionalism, who thinks it's not a good idea to get involved in this debate or even provide counter-arguments to this claim that billionaires will leave. Why?
Si jamais on monte un peu la température et qu'au bout du compte, il y en a qui finissent par partir pour de bon, alors on dira, alors là, vous voyez, là, ils s'en vont. Donc c'est pas bon du tout, il faut s'arrêter. Moi, sur cette question, ma ligne serait plutôt la suivante. Ils veulent partir, mais c'est parfait. On leur montre la porte, on la leur tient si besoin est, ils la franchissent, et dans un sens uniquement, ils ne reviennent pas.
So yeah, he's basically saying, let them leave, we're better off without them. Now this sounds absolutely wild to us. What? We need rich people to pay taxes, to create jobs, to generate wealth. I mean, we've been fed those talking points since we were born, and then Lordon comes on stage and says, no, we don't need to care about them and their feelings. We can do things differently. And honestly, there is a case to be made against the belief that more mega rich people in one country automatically means a better economy or a better society. I spend a lot of time in Ireland where a lot of international tech companies invest. This has made Ireland heavily dependent on those companies' revenue, which means their needs often comes before the needs of Irish people. The Irish government is too afraid of these companies leaving and as a result isn't doing enough for its population, for their quality of life, access to education, housing, public transportation. Now, I'm not an expert on these topics. This is why I observed in Ireland. There's a comment section down there. You can tell me if this is a valid case or not. I'll read your comments. What I can say though is this. A 2% tax on the mega wealthy won't change most people's lives in any significant way. We've heard progressives say it will fund the green transition or universal childcare or public services. No one agrees where to send the money. One thing is clear though, we're going to need more than that. What can be done? I want to go back to Gary. Gary's platform and message have received a lot of attention, a lot of support, and a lot of energy. Gary has gained popularity by being honest about the state of our society and where we're heading if nothing changes. The people following him, listening to him, really believe in this message. They want to tax the rich. Like, really. And I think Gary should be clear by what he means by it. Because once that 2% tax passes, and it seems like it's progressively getting traction in Europe, at least. So when this thing Gary's supporting and connecting himself to passes, I don't want people to think it's gonna change their lives. It won't. I don't want people to be frustrated again, because we know where that frustration leads. It leads to resentment, interpersonal violence, depoliticization, all the things that the far right thrives on. If the 2% tax passes, I want the people who advocate for it to make it clear this is not that big of a deal, that it's a first step, a small step, but that the momentum needs to keep going. If they don't do so, people are going to resent them, like they've resented all the other so-called progressive leaders and thinkers who came to power with bold measures and achieved barely anything. I would advise someone like Gary not to associate himself with any political party, because at this point I'm more and more convinced real political change doesn't come from bipartisan cooperation. It comes from relentless pressure, from below, from citizens and their honest spokespeople. I say this not just as a French citizen, so someone who's watched her own government ignore democratic principles to stay in power and push a neoliberal agenda, someone who has seen progressive politicians drawn into this mess with empty promises just to divide and weaken the left. I say this also as a historian. Stick with me, I promise this is going to be relevant. For my first year's master's thesis, I studied post-civil rights politics in Oakland, California. I wanted to understand something that doesn't quite fit the usual script. Basically, how just 2 years after the civil rights movement supposedly ended, another movement emerged. The Black Panther Party. Because usually social movements follow a familiar cycle. First there's a crisis, then people mobilize, then the government responds, maybe make concessions, maybe passes a few reforms or offers more representation. Then the movement usually gets institutionalized. Some people who are part of the movement enter political parties, etc. It loses its radical edge. The crisis gets managed and life returns to normal. Until the next crisis. But in Auckland, that familiar cycle broke. A new, more radical movement called the Black Panther Party emerged just 2 years after people were celebrating the Civil Rights Act. Why? Well, the answer is quite simple. The institutionalization of the civil rights movement mainly benefited the black elite, not the black poor. The anger didn't go away. The structures of inequality didn't go away. I saw it clearly in local media, in the Black Panther Party press, in council meeting records, and in the archives in general. The civil rights movement may have ended on paper, but on the ground, the injustices, the anger, the energy was still alive. And you see me coming, this is obviously not just about Auckland. This is also about the Tax the Rich campaign. Right now, we're at the beginning of the cycle. There's a crisis. The public is mobilizing. Officials are starting to make noise, considering a 2% tax on billionaire wealth. What usually happens next, they pass something, watered down. They offer just enough to erase the pressure. And then, back to business as usual. We've seen the cycle, we're familiar with it now. But here's the thing. Given the momentum, the frustration, the urgency around Tax the Rich, I think we could break the cycle again. Because people won't be satisfied with symbolic gestures. They won't be calmed by a mild 2% tax. The crisis is too deep. The inequality is too blatant. The anger is too real. And if leaders think a small tax on extreme wealth is going to settle things, they might be in for a surprise. We'll see. So Gary, if you're listening to this, please, please keep your vision strong. Don't let politicians drag you down with their, short-term goals, etc. You're better than this. Anyway, I think that's it for today. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. I don't usually cover economics, but I wanted to say something about this. I was a little bit annoyed. My little contrarian self felt triggered by this whole discourse on the tax the rich. But anyway, yeah, tell me what you think. There's a comment section down below. The conversation continues over there. Other than that, I would like to say a big thank you to Aura for sponsoring the video. The link is in the description box to get access to 14 days for free. Big thank you to my Patreons for their support, and a special thank to top-tier Patreons Nofal Shamari, Fred, Hongqing Huang, Paul-Louis Agenot, Patrick Button, Jeff Lee, Yilan, Taya Matin, Nick, Brandon, Jem Siddle, Ojual, Pablo, Patrick Riley, Boris, Ria, Corrigi, Tristan, Christopher, Ian, Donage, Alex, Manuel, Christopher France, and Perry. And thank you to the other ones who prefer to stay anonymous. That's it for me. That's it for today. I'll see you very soon. Salut!